you don't have to be perfect in your responses to them. As a matter of fact, on the bio-objections, I have no problem with you having this sheet with you and say, you know, this is a standard answer that we give in reference to the objection you just made to me. Let me read it to you. Because it's the truth. It's transparent. All right? Now, in reference to what we are going to communicate, if an objection comes up from a buyer, you don't necessarily have to respond to that objection. You might take note of it, but move on. But if the buyer comes back to the objection for a second time, it's important to the buyer, then you must respond to it. I'm just giving you my personal opinion. When you're talking with buyers, now again, it depends on the bonding process. Remember, Jimmy talked about Ford, family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. If you've bonded with the people, you can truthfully say before they come out to look at property, please don't forget your checkbook. Mm-hmm. Bring your checkbook with you. That takes a little courage on your part, but if you don't ask, you don't receive. But let's say for the sake of discussion, you're looking at property, and the buyer says to you, well, I don't have my checkbook with me. Your response is, I'm not concerned about your checkbook. I'm concerned about your desire. I think we found the home that's going to fit your needs, and that's the major concern that I have. If it does, we can worry about the check later. At this point in time, I have a promissory note available for you. We can approve the promissory note, and we can always replace it with a check. Which means to you as a salesperson, have promissory notes with you. Mm-hmm. Talk to your manager about getting them. Second one, our furniture will not fit into this home. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. Don't let that happen to you. Now, why do I say that? In advance, tell people, I want you, please take the time to measure your living room and measure your master bedroom. We want to know what the dimensions are. And you as a salesperson have a tape measure available, because people invariably will think that the living room or the bedroom that's being showed is smaller than theirs. But if you have proof in terms of the tape and they've measured, that problem goes away. Ask them to measure the largest piece of furniture before they come out in their home. It could even be a grand piano or a king-size bedroom set, because you have to make certain that what they have will fit in the home that they wish to buy. And then get a little piece of color. It might be something off an armchair where the color scheme at their home may or may not fit the home that they're going to buy. Now, when you get to the property and they like all the amenities and everything about the home, excepting perhaps for the sake of discussion, the master bedroom doesn't fit the king-size bedroom set, but they like everything else about the home, then you have to ask them this question. How important is that bedroom set to you? Might it be possible to exchange it for a queen-size bedroom set, because the cost of the bedroom set is far less than this opportunity you might be giving up? I can't make that decision for you. You might have a sentimental attachment, but at least I want to offer that to you. Okay? Number three, it's going to take me too long a time period to pay off this loan. Well, first of all, tell people in California that the average time that we're in a home is 5 to 7 years. We're not there for a 30-year period. But there's a finite time when that loan will be paid off. When you're renting, is it ever paid off? The answer is no. And rents go up every year. But in terms of your monthly payment, it's going to remain constant as the dollar gets less. So you're in a situation where you have also the benefit of principal reduction on a monthly basis. You have the tremendous tax benefit. And this one's a tricky one in terms of appreciation. You can't lie to people. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to guarantee that the property is going to be worth 5 to 7 years from now than it is today. You can't prove that. But you can give a little history. I recognize there may be some concern on your part, because in the year 2008, property values in California dropped almost 30%, depending on where you were. But people forget that from the year 2000 to 2005, property values went up 114%. We didn't give all that away. And at this point, I truly believe in my heart, and I'm buying property to prove it, that I think that the appreciation factor is going to take place, and you'll have more value in your home 5 to 7 years than you have today. But that's my best estimate in terms of that. Okay, the next one. I want an uncle or some relative to approve the purchase we're making. Now, if you were smart enough or prepared enough, you may want to talk to that relative before they even go out and look at the property. Find out what the relative owns. Find out how long they've owned it, find out how old they are, and find out how they got started. Because if the relative's living in a four-bedroom, three-bathroom home, now they may have started off with a two-bedroom, one-bathroom home, but seem to have gotten about it. I mean, you can't make them your enemy. You've got to get them on your team. And the way to do that is to make friends with them. But they understand appreciation. They also understand depreciation of our dollar. I mean, what was the dollar worth 30 years ago versus what it's worth today? Compared to real estate, what was that selling for 30 years ago versus what it is today? And you've got to get started somewhere and make that clear to them. Now, the next one, number five, narrowing the choice. If someone says, these are the first homes we've seen, and we're not prepared to make a decision, if you were smart enough as a salesperson, before you went out and looked at property, you determined what neighborhood was the one they preferred. What was their second choice? What was their third choice? So you could pinpoint the neighborhoods. And that rejects all of the neighborhoods because you're concentrating your effort on what you feel fits for them. Then you get into pricing. Now remember, most of us have a champagne taste and a
beer budget.
So the point is, you've got to make it plain without offending them that they have some limitations. Your budget, most people don't have a budget, but your budget has some limitations. So you get that message across and say, look, I have researched, and make sure you have, I've researched this situation for you to begin with. I've looked at the neighborhood, I've looked at the price range, I've looked at what's affordable to you, I've looked at the bedrooms and bathrooms. And by the way, we may have to make another decision here, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer. The neighborhood of your choice may not be available to you in a single family residence, but could be available to you in a condominium. Because condominiums might give you an extra bedroom and a bathroom that you couldn't get in a single family residence. You have the downside of not having a private backyard for the children, and you have HOA dues, but the HOA dues give you some tremendous services in return. No landscaping problems, the use of community pools, spas, whatever it might be in terms of the amenity package. So you narrow the choice for them, and you do that as quickly as you possibly can. Objection number six, the price is too high. Will the seller reduce his price? Now, we've got many articles recently that come out proving that many people are paying more than the asking price for property today. And there's a multiple offer situation taking place there. And under the circumstances, tell them, look, you will make the final determination in terms of what you wish to pay, but I would strongly advise you that the seller has an excellent price on the property. And you're going to be protected by the appraiser. That appraiser is going to come out an impartial third party and determine the value of the property. If the appraiser comes back and says the value is less than what you've agreed to pay, you can renegotiate your position or back off on the proposal. But we need to move forward now. Number seven, the neighborhood is too modest for me. Again, you should determine in your mind before you ever show the property what would be acceptable to them and not acceptable, so you're not wasting their time or your time showing property in a neighborhood that's not suitable for them. And number eight, we want to wait a while. This is a beauty. And I liked what was communicated this morning about the Ferrari. Where's your Ferrari? Because in effect, it's the same general principle. Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, can I ask how long you've been married? I know it's personal, but I'd like to know. I don't care whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. The next question is, can I ask you, in that time period, how much money you've saved? And the chances are they've saved less than $10,000, maybe less than $5,000. And then you ask the question, do you expect things to change in the future? Automobiles wear out, children get sick, furniture needs to be replaced. It's a very, very difficult process to be able to keep some money in the bank. When you own a piece of real estate, you have a forced savings program. That's why you can't afford to wait any longer. I had people, my broker, tell stories about in the 1970s when they were selling property for $15,000, people wanted to wait a while. And those properties, even in turn, forgetting about the recession, but even in the recession, those properties are worth 10 times more now than they were when they were purchased. And then finally, the house needs too many repairs. Well, again, don't be foolish. Do your proper planning before you take people out. If the person is a repair person, a handyman, you can show a home that needs to be repaired. If someone isn't into that, like I'm not into it, don't even bother to show them property in that nature. Don't show property that has deferred maintenance. Now, if you are going to show someone who is a handyman, don't diminish the problem. I might even embellish the problem, saying, I'm not sure whether you're up to making the repairs on this property. It may be too much for you to handle. Now, that will challenge a lot of people. Well, let me see it. Let me see it for myself. And when that person goes on there, goes out there, if you've done your job properly, well, I can handle this. And it makes it much easier for you to complete a transaction. Remember what I said. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. So do your homework. Make sure you fully understand what the needs are for your people before you ever take them out and show the property. Thank you.